your conversation. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Yeah, I'm ready.
Sorry. All right, I do
it like that. We're waiting for your cue.
Yeah.
There is, I handed out, there is funds for the Olson County Arts and Cultural Organizations that have been they're putting out their flyers in case anybody that wants to be involved and try to get one of the grants. I don't know if you actually...
I spoke to Eve today regarding this program, and somewhere along the lines, when you hear, maybe you want to go over the different types of things we have within the program, and some good things that are coming around. One of the particular ones is where they have in Saugerties and Shandaken. I think they have where you buy a pad or something, and they have that.
It's free,
whatever it is.
Yeah, no, it's really nice.
So we were looking to, in this situation, we were looking to have funding for that type of thing, too, to make signs, to maybe do some of the mailings, to do that, and then something like, that would be new in the program, so that we would have to change some of the options that we have to capacity building. It really doesn't do the capacity building because they're all individuals without the capacity. It's not an outstanding, but it's something that kind of goes into the cultural and the arts thing in a different way, just another way of.
And they also have an application process to be on the, to be included in the tour.
So I think I think that's something the committee ought to take a look at at the appropriate time and even bring it forward.
All right. Yeah, she couldn't attend tonight. She's not allowed, so. Which is no problem, so we'll do with it. Anyway, I forgot to call attendance, but attendance, everybody's here. So all members are in attendance. Myself, Eduardo Lopez, and Gregorius. Also, a motion to approve the minutes of March 10th, seconded by Lopez, Eduardo. And all those in favor, aye. Not ready, and then they'll be around here. Where are they? Thank you. All right, we do have we're waiting for anybody else. If you don't mind, I was going to let Terry is from the Veterans Services. He was the past director of Veterans Affairs. In fact, when I served as chairman, he was the first guy I reappointed. But he did threaten me. He did threaten me in order to get the appointment, so...
But you punched me.
But anyway, Terry was here, and he wanted to, brief us on a few things. Also, I want to make sure that I think... you had that, and these are the, that was an email that was sent, I think it was sent to you, I think I had it copied over to you for everybody in the committee, and then there was an email that was follow-up by, I think it is Ira Reiner, the commander, and so I don't know if we want to do anything with that, but we'll think about that in a minute. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I've read this. I had heard about it, but I had not seen it. And I don't see this as any kind of a vicious attack, other than that one statement that supposedly he did or didn't say about stopping veterans funding if, it gets people get too critical. I don't know. But other than that, it didn't seem like he was openly attacking it. It was just dangerous. But anyway, I don't know the gentleman, and it looks like it's a he said, she said type thing, and I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, for I didn't think I would be back before this committee ever again, after 28 years of it, but then I only see two familiar faces, and again, my name is Terry Breitenstein. I was the director of the Olson County Veterans Service Agency for 28 years, retired about 3.5 years ago. And what I'm about to talk about, I'm as apolitical as any person can be. And I think Ron can verify that.
Absolutely.
And I'm from Woodstock, and it's, you know, hard to stand in the middle on anything. But I will stand for what I believe in and talk about it. And the reason that I'm here tonight is, number one, my having been associated with the county for all those years, but I was a veteran before I was the director of the Ulster County Veterans Service Agency. Okay? And I'm coming to you with my experience with the agency, but I'm coming to you tonight as a veteran. And here is my concern. And I was hoping some other people would be here because I know they disagree with me, but this is my concern, and I feel qualified to make this judgment. One of the most important things that the county can do for the veterans is to provide a veterans service agency. Now, the veterans service agency is mandated by the state, as is the position of director. The mission of the Veterans Service Agency is to provide services. I remember we used to have to do mission statements. I don't know if they still do that. And I'd see department heads writing pages. And I would put the mission of the, our mission statement. My mission statement is this: readers provide services to the veterans and their families of Ulster County. And that basically is the mission of the Ulster County Veterans Service Agency. Now, we've read stories in the paper, and we've seen commentaries on the news about the Veterans Administration, especially with the medical situation and problems. We've seen stories and reports about the backlog on claims, veterans' claims for the different benefits that they may or may not be eligible for. They're true. They're not new. They've been going on since time. Okay? It's a bureaucracy that we've all had to deal with, and some of us get good at it, and some of us just put our hands up in the air. But be what it may, we can't really control that much that goes on in Washington. We can go up and yell at people in Albany, but we can damn well take care of what goes on in our county. And I am here to tell you that I personally, this is my opinion, and I'm backing this up with years of experience, I think there are problems with our Ulster County Veterans Service Agency. Okay? It seems to me that providing services to the veterans and their families of Ulster County is taking a back seat in many, many cases. And I'm going to be very blunt and forward with this. I have been trying to meet, and I have no animosity towards Michael Hines or anybody else. Like I said, this is not Democrat or Republican. This is a veteran speaking about what the county supplies, the services that they supply to the veterans. I think our Ulster County Veterans Service Agency right now is in a state of disarray. I think it has bad management, and I think, you know, we're it's different now. We don't have the county administrator and all the legislators. We now have this executive form of government, and more than likely than not, that branch is going to decide whether they're doing their job or not. Okay? I in no way, whether it's a county executive or whether it's a county administrator or whether it's county legislators, there is no way that the Veterans Service Agency should be used to promote any political position. And I say that very matter-of-factly. Okay? I'm not deaf and I'm not blind. And that really upsets me, because it's happening. When we need to put people in positions, and I'm going to talk about the Veterans Service Agency in particular, We have 14,000 veterans in this county. And I think when we go to fill a position, that we should canvass those 14,000 people. I mean, many of them are working and not available for job. But my saying is, we should be out there looking for the best possible candidates to fill these positions and to make sure that the job gets done. Okay? That has not been the case. Now, I'm not here to do character assassination or anything else. This is something that for the past 6 months I have been trying to get in. The last time I saw Michael was at my cousin's funeral, and we talked, and he said, keep me informed and get a hold of me, and I want to hear more about it. And I have been 6 months trying to get him to hear about it. I don't want to deal with Mr. Cornell. I want to deal with Michael Hunter. And I'll be perfectly honest, Mr. Cornell, and I don't see eye to eye on a few things. All right? I'm adamant about it. I don't like what's happening. I don't want to see the veterans used as a prop. And I won't be quieted in that end. I won't be quieted down. I'm very serious about it. I don't want to talk about, well, when I was a director, but I put 28 years into that department. And Dave, I think you can attest, before that it was a political appointment. I wasn't supposed to get that job. But, and my staff, and I think we put together a department that I know I was proud of, and I can't do an attaboy to me, because every good thing that I did 10. We had a remarkable, I hired adults, I didn't micromanage. And they all had a heart towards the veterans community. All right? I'm not seeing that now. I'm not seeing it at all. And we have a counselor that I had trained. His name is Tim Keating. He's at the Veterans Service Agency. Tim is probably, in all my experience, and I will say this, I was the second longest standing accredited VA accredited rep in New York State. So I saw a lot of different counselors, and I actually taught at some of the training sessions down in the VA regional office. Tim is probably, we are so fortunate, not just because I like him, Tim is probably one of the finest caseworkers, veteran service officers that I've ever seen. He's very dedicated. And for what he's going through over at that department, I don't know how he does it. Now, Tim also has Crohn's disease. Okay? He is doing 97-98% of all the casework in that department. That's busy. Now, when I was there, I had two counselors and myself. It got down to Tim and I. And I carried probably a larger percentage. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that. All the cases myself. The comments have come that I am an administrator, I'm not a caseworker. That's the director of the department. If we ever were to, Tim was to get fed up or be what it may, we would be in 100 times more problems than we are right now. Doing casework, providing services, advising benefit structures, home visits, I can go on and on, is one of the most important things that this county does, that it had done. We need to do burials, widows benefits, single parent widows benefits, veterans benefits, compensation, education benefits, all of these things, nursing home benefits, assisted living benefits, it goes incarcerated vets, it goes on and on and on. And you have to stay on top of this, and you have to be able to, when you sit down with a family or a veteran, and I taught Tim this because I had learned it, is that the best thing you can do in the beginning is listen. Because he may be in there for a tax exemption. And all of a sudden you start hearing things and you say, wow, we can help this. You know, you should be applying for a service-connected disability. Maybe it was that your hearing loss was connected to the service. I mean, you have to know the benefit structure. And you have to know the viability of what you can do as far as helping the addressed. And that is all done through knowledge and, just as importantly, believe me, dedication. And that's big. And it's, we provide, I mean, we, the Veterans Service Agency, people don't realize the money that it saves the county just on Medicaid. Just the Medicaid costs. There are different reasons all throughout. But the bottom line is, however anyone wants to look at it, and there's no such thing as a good world. And the old saying, only the dead have seen the end of war. And I'm not particularly happy about Iraq, Afghanistan, and all this stuff. I'm a Vietnam vet. I look back now and I'm not happy about that. But the thing about it is that we have soldiers, men and women in the armed forces, that are taking the time out of their life, going into the service, doing whatever. It's a professional force now. You have to. That's their job. That's what they do. But if, in fact, serving this country as that, good or bad, and they come home with physical, mental problems, different situations, maybe they just want to buy their first home. They have to be able to walk in. We are the Ulster County Veterans Service Agency is the conduit by which the veteran works to go ahead and pursue these benefits. Because if they were to do it on their own, it would never happen. You try dealing with the VA and not have that kind of knowledge, you are dead in the war. And I mean that sincerely. That's what we do. That's what they do. Any veteran service agency, in New York State, they are the conduit through which you work. Now, there are different schools, and be what it may, down in the regional office that we have to take to become accredited. You do this as for a power of attorney. And there are many different ways you can do it. The American Legion, the VFW, the DBA, and on and on and on. But you go with the biggest and the most powerful and the most influential, because that's what you need fighting. You get to make sure your case is adjudicated. And then with your accreditation, you are kept informed and you can call and check status. So it's important that you're accredited. Anyway, it's not something you learn in a year. I was there for 28 years and I was still learning. And the VA is constantly changing mandates, rules, regulations, so on and so forth. So you have to stay abreast, like any other profession. But it is the obligation, I think, of county government, probably with any services that we do with the public, but I'm speaking of the Veterans Service Agency, that we have the best people there to perform these services. And we don't. We don't have the best people there. Some of the people there have never met a meeting that they didn't want to attend. Any reason they can to get out of the office. When I tell you that Tim is the one that is doing it, I'm serious. I'm very serious. And that is a large responsibility. And I can tell you that burnout can occur. I pray it doesn't with Tim, because we would be in some mess. But he does an excellent job. He doesn't need to be called to the executive office and given a certificate of appreciation. Number one, that doesn't put 1 ounce of food on your table. All right? We need two Tims in that office for it to work properly. Okay? And we currently don't have that.
How many people are
in? I am upset about it.
Do you know how many people are in the office right now?
You have a director, a new deputy director. You have Tim. You have two full-time secretaries, one of which is, what do we call it? She's not taking a test. She's not on the list, so she's there.
Temporary.
Temporary. temporary for 2 years. And there's a part-time Romy Kelly's here a couple days a week. You have a driver that's head of the van to transport veterans on a daily basis to and from the Albany VA hospital. I can get into what we did have versus what we didn't have. Some of the services aren't there anymore. The people on dialysis, I made sure that we had transportation for them. There's a Craig, I don't know, Max Lynn, he's handicapped, but he works in the office also, you know, mostly updating files, consolidating files of people that met. Linda Linick is the senior town clerk, I guess. I don't know what the title is now, but
principal clerk.
Leaving at the end of May. Okay. The driver's leaving at the end of this month. And little that remains, and I don't know who's going to break these people in when they get new. It's never been the county's policy to, you know, cross-train somebody for a couple months before you retire or leave or something, but whatever. But and there's many different areas of which this bothers me. And I get a lot of phone calls at home from vets. Like I said, I'm still a veteran. But many of these people I've worked with over the years, and I do get a lot of phone calls, had a lot of complaints. I also get calls from different departments and funeral directors and other people associated with the Veterans Service Agency that are not happy. I don't know what's going to be done about it because it's Michael's decision. And I'm not going to waste any more talk on any of his deputy directors because I think the Veterans Agency is doing better than it's ever done before, but they have nothing to base it on. They're not here that long. I think it needs to be brought to someone's attention to take a really good look. The trouble being, I think, through the executive department with the co-execs or whatever title they're having this year, is they don't understand what the mission of that department is. Now, we have a new, what's it called, the Patriots Home. I visited it for the first time last week. First time. And I went in because I've been hearing messages. I was at the State of the County speech here at the college. And it comes off, the talk was that we have solved the problem of homeless veterans in Ulster County. Okay. We didn't touch the problems of homeless veterans in Ulster County. I was out to this, it's a superb job, it's very nice. This is not a homeless veterans place, it's a transitional. The people that go there, first of all, it doesn't hold 10 beds, it holds 7. Okay? And since a long time, the most that they've had there, since I know from last September, the most they've ever had there were 4 people. And Soldiers On, who's based in Massachusetts, that runs this particular building, they bring people from Massachusetts over there, from Soldiers On. Right now, there are 2 people there, and that's been that way for quite some time. So I asked the gentleman, I said, what's the story here? I said, you're telling me people are coming in, they're out of work a little bit, but they transition, they need a place to stay for a while, get back on the feet, or this, that, or the other thing. I said, what about people with dependency problems? Not allowed in here. What about people with personal hygiene problems? Not allowed in here. I said, do you know what homeless that is? And they have to leave the building at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they can't come back until 3. that is the rule. Go out and look for a job. And I said, you know, we had a pretty tough winter this morning. You got some vets in here and he's staying and he doesn't have transportation or anything. I'll be out of the building 9 to 3 every day. You have to leave at 9. I had heard it was 11 to 3. But he told me, 9 to 3, get out and look for a job. You're not hanging out here. I said, okay. And I asked him what type of vets are coming in. And he said, you're regular guys that are, you know, hit the hard locker, this and that, the other thing. And he said, but it's very transitional. And he mostly could say it's 90 days anyway. We'd like to have them moved on by 60. I said, what if they're here for 90 days and they haven't found anything? He said, then we try to find someplace else for them to go. Okay, so I'm not saying this place is bad. It's a lovely, the work was done. It's done very well. And I'm sure it performs a function. But I don't want to hear that this has solved the homeless bed problem in Ulster County, because it hasn't. And there are more than two or three homeless beds in Ulster County, trust me.
Do you have a number?
Well, last time, and again, I'll only go back to my own experience. The last time, I didn't get into housing for homeless vets because, number one, I wasn't qualified, and neither was the county. You have to bring in all your resources, mental health, public health, everything all involved in that, especially when the VA has a whole office up in Albany. That's what they do. Much of what they do things just to justify their existence. But, I mean, that is what they do. And the last time they came down, they said, well, they were out on the street and counted them, but they went to the Darmstadt shelter. They went to different places and so on and so forth. And they determined that Ulster County had 143 homeless vets. I'm just going by what they do. Do I know that it was 143? No. And the other thing you have to find out with the veterans community, and one of the biggest transitions we made back in the late 80s was Vietnam vets, because there was never a claim adjudicated for Agent Orange until 1990. PTSD was up in the air. The VA hospitals were going from chronic care to acute care. You know, when people come out of Korea or World War II, it was battle fatigue, shell shock, whatever name they came up with it. And the VA became their home for many of these people. So in the 50s and the 60s, and this whole transition was taking place, getting away from chronic care and getting into acute care. And get them fixed and get them out. Okay. Now, what happens here is guy goes into Vietnam vets when they were first with, they call it PTSD. All right, and you come in, put them in house for three or four days, get them toned down, pump them full of whatever the medicine of the week was, and back out on the street. And if you remember reading the papers back then, there was a robbery, an assault, or a killing, or anything else. If it was a Vietnam vet, they made sure that they stated that. Okay? I mean, I've seen custody battles in Ulster County, hearing a judge in Ulster County say, I would never award custody of the children to a Vietnam vet. I mean, these are things that, you know. So, the responsibility that we have, and I kind of got off track, so I'm trying to backtrack which direction I was going here. But the needs are there. It has been demonstrated time and time again. All right, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 68 years old. So now we have the Persian Gulf vets who went through hell. Not a claim was adjudicated for Persian Gulf for 5 years because the VA said they didn't have the personnel to do it. And then we get into Iraqi freedom, Afghanistan. So, you know, you've got this whole trend, and they're coming home with their own situations. We went through a whole period in the early 90s, mid 90s, with depleted uranium. You haven't seen the worst of that yet. It's been squashed. these are American men and women. And if we're going to have a Veteran Service Agency, and if you're going to have an Ulster County Veteran Service Agency, and the New York State Department of Veterans Affairs, and a national VA, and damn it, do the best thing you can or get out of the business. And I don't feel that we're doing the best that we can. I think we need the... Instead, I'm not going to get into too many character assassinations here, but I think we need far more dedicated and compassionate people involved. Being ex-military does not make you a good civilian. A person chose to say that. That's not the criteria. I know where I'm starting to go with this. The executive branch being, and the co-execs and be whatever, they don't know what the day in and the day out situation, workload is. They don't know to do the mission, to serve the veterans and their families of Ulster County. It's a tremendous thing. I mean, there were days that I threw my hands up in the air and wanted to just walk out the door saying, Jesus, I can't help these people. You know, the bureaucracy, the this, the that, and the other thing. And you get that one phone call and it's thank you, you know, and it just reels you back in. You know you're there for a reason. But they don't know what the mission is. The mission of that department is not doing whatever they had to do for the Patriot House. The mission of that department is not to run around getting the names that we can put up. And I'm not saying what they're doing with this Children Action Memorial is a very nice thing. I saw the pictures, it's unbelievable. Okay? But more importantly, if we've got the time and the energy, and some of these people that we're talking about, they're right here, Ira Weiner, the commander. I mean, he was put to work at the Veterans Service Agency, going through private files, which he shouldn't have been doing. But anyway, they were gathering those names and so on and so forth. That's fine. But not at the expense. I think I would have rather seen all 20 or so more of the veterans organizations in Norfolk County join in doing fundraising to bring this about, this whole thing. But having said that, the Veterans Service Agency, I hope I've given you a brief description of the mission. The mission is not to promote politicians. The mission is not to make somebody look good. The mission is not to build up your ego. The mission is one that you have to have the dedication and knowledge to pull it off. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not happening. We lost last year probably one of the best employees I've ever had in my life, who was more dedicated to the veterans community than anybody right now. All right? And I don't care what anybody says. There was a vendetta, a vindictiveness, a witch hunt. She's a single parent. She lost a month's pay, and she's now no longer working at the Veterans Service Agency. And that's when I really turned up the volume. Because I know why it happened. And it was wrong. It was wrong. And if anybody wants to know about it, I'm not going to take up your time. And if anybody wants to know more particulars than I'm giving, call me. Because I'll tell you. Because I'm not angry. I'm not upset. And until the people realize that there's more to it than what's being proposed, until they realize that the people we put in the position that are dealing with people's lives and problems every day. Every day, you've got to put the right people in that job. And you can't just do it by pulling somebody that's whatever, however they do it. You got to go out and look for the best person. In my mind, in my opinion, you go out and you look for the best person available in this county to do that job. And I don't know if I've conveyed the message. I know I thought 1,000 times, talked to Don about what I was going to say. But I will leave it at that for now. I'm not going away. I can't be intimidated. I'm not going away. I'm going to pursue it some more. And like I said, I'm available to talk to anyone that wants to talk to me. And who's not afraid to give the truth. And we'll just see where it goes. But I didn't want to make this committee, which I sat in front of for many years, aware of that. I think there is a situation here that needs to be addressed, and I don't know how, with the current type of government, that's going to happen. So I'm talking to anybody that wants to listen, because I feel it's that important. I'll answer any questions anybody has.
Anybody have any questions?
679-6393. Okay. And thank you for your time and your ears.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, is there anything that you feel that we need to do?
I mean, first thing is, Terry's a good guy. That's all I got. I don't think he goes out and looks for any. I know him well. So, we've been through the band routine and everything else all the time. What I'm trying to figure out is, he ran this thing pretty good. So where's the drop off? We're taking a look at housing, for example. We're talking about the 90-day business. Or was the housing good before all of this happened? Is there a remarkable difference? And if there is, how did it happen? And what can we do about it? What were the things that were successful before that aren't happening now? How can we make them happen? Trying to get an idea of where we are now to where we were. And if there's one of the things I was thinking about when I was talking about this 90-day business, soldier on is federally funded. And is that a federal requirement or is it our requirement? Whose requirement is it?
Is that federally funded?
I thought originally it was 6 to 9 months. I thought that's what we were
going to do. We should get into it. That should all be part of it.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is, do we make the short time, or is this something that they only get paid to do? Are they paid on a formula that's done by the federal government, or is it we the ones that are doing it over this time frame?
Now, who's going to actually type up the minutes on this? A lot of typing there.
So there's that. I would want to take a look and say, okay. The workload for this Mr. Keating, who I don't know, if he's really doing, not that he's not, but is it possible, if you're working at the 99% of capacity, are you getting all the things you need done? Is it happening?
And Warren and I agree with 14,000 vets.
Well, I guess that's the question.
Even if, I think that number alone would indicate that there would be no way that one person could handle it.
Well, the other aspect is that what ends up happening is I know they used to do certain outreach. In other words, the veterans would go into, go to the different organizations and actually outreach for caseloads. In other words, even, looking for more work, technically. I mean, is that being done? How many cases are actually...
Right, yeah, okay. There's 14,000 veterans. How many of those veterans are really in the need of
sponsored.
Right. Well, there's certain services they almost everyone needs in some cases, and they may, in other words, they get into the benefits. So, but I'm not sure if, you know, that may be very brief, and some people may do it on their own, where, in other words, like he's saying, it can be quite complicated for someone that has a number of little benefits that they may not realize, and that's where they, you know, if they go to the veterans agency, they should be able to be filled in on those. So my concern, of course, is that is, are they outreaching? What is the difference in the caseloads that we're doing now versus what was done in the past?
Well, that becomes the, what I'm hearing as this is going on, is how do we identify where we are? How do we know? Well, we tell you there's always problems in anything that gets done. I got that. But has there been a dramatic shift? And if the dramatic shift is there, how did it occur? What's happening differently? What should we be doing? I understand people don't always agree with everybody else. That's fine, but I need facts. I need
but there is that dry things that are not,
right.
Not opinion.
And I think that is our purview. I think we do have the right to call people and to tell them what's going on. I think we do have the right to get the information in which we would make decisions. We're policy setters, and we control the purse. The financial determiners as to how money comes. And pretty soon we'll be going into another round of budgets. And now is probably a good time to find out, do we need somebody else in addition to what's going on, what should be going on, what are the job descriptions, how does it work? Is there a huge difference from what was in the past, or is it looking differently, or what is it? And that maybe is how we should be focusing and bringing it along. We have time, some time, before we get into the budget process. We should be gaining those facts and starting to learn as soon as we can, make some determinations. And then once you find out what it really is, then you can find out where we go. And what do we need? And how do we convince people that we need it? And what's the criteria putting? What stands are we putting? And how do we then review the work to make sure that it's being done from our standpoint as a committee? And that's up to the committee as to how far we want to go with it.
So maybe I could ask for the number of caseloads for the past 8 years running to see what it was, how many caseloads were held, and, you know, somehow try to get the information.
I would still think it's important.
I mean, I could call it.
We could, come up with a list of different things we think would be pertinent.
I'd also like to hear from Mr. Massey. I'm not standing on him in any way. It's not that. But tell us what's going on. Tell us as you see it, how it is. And let's take a look at both ends of this to determine, okay, well, where are the discrepancies and what do we have to find out? And I don't know how you would do it any other way.
And I would have some concern that we are even bringing anybody in from any place else to that home.
That's a concern of mine. There's so many people that need this thing.
Right.
What's going on?
I want to ignore the bulk of his frustration. It seems to stem from the fact that there is an open dialogue between him and the executive's office. Yeah, there, you know, it seemed to be some sort of disconnect there. I guess apparently he doesn't see eye to eye on a lot of things like that.
People don't always agree on everything. I got that.
Sure.
But what's real is real. And if that's not working, then we have the committee here that we have leadership meetings and things along that line where it's appropriate to have some type of discussion. If it's not working in one way, maybe it'll work in another way.
Sure.
But I don't think we can be silent on this. If we really need to dig in and find out what we don't know.
Well, I know that I did call the county executive a few days ago and left a message because he said he wasn't available. Normally he calls me back, but I did say it was about, you know, a veteran issue, and he didn't call me back. And then, I don't know if it was because of this email that was out or what, but then I did, if you saw that I wrote a letter to Steve Massey. I asked him if he could please, you know, you know, just give me an update on what's going on with this, you know, with the particular thing, and, you know, so we can put it to rest. And he didn't call me either, and I don't...
Ken usually sits in on the meetings,
yeah, and Ken usually sits in on the meetings, and he's not here. And I'm curious as to, I mean, is this all coincidental that, you know, that...
Well, I wouldn't say anything other than that. Give everybody a chance to explain.
And then Ken Cornell didn't show up, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this letter, the email concerns me, but of course it's a he said, she said type of thing, because they do admit that they met with this guy. I happened to call the guy up personally. I got a phone, got a hold of his number. And I called him up, and what he more or less was saying, he said, well, this is basically what happened. He said, but, you know, I support the county executive in that he should be able to be invited to Vietnam Veterans Affairs, and I support the idea of the plaque. He said, this is just what was told to me, and he said he was brought in because, I guess they did some, he's a handicapped veteran, and I guess he got help from Keith Bennett, helped him get either oil or something of that nature to get some help. So he said that's perhaps why he was called in to intervene. I also called Bill Forte, who is the head of the Kingston Veterans Association, and asked him about it. He said he didn't, you know, he doesn't know much about this. He did talk about, you know, Vietnam vets never invite politicians to any of their events. They just don't do it. They can show up. They have no problem if they come. You know, they'll, you know, they advertise the event, but they don't invite, you know, because of the...
The
nature of the politics of the war, whether you thought we should be there or not, either or, they felt it was just a politically run war that, you know, 54,000 men died for politics. And so they don't invite anybody. If some people come, they may let them speak. Like he said, that the last one that was a question about the invitation, what they're talking about in the email, was... Chris Gibson, the congressman, showed up. He wasn't invited, but he was allowed to speak as the command, as a Colonel Gibson. You know, but they typically, you know, if somebody's there, they may will recognize them, and sometimes they may allow them to say a quick word or two, but typically they don't. So that's the only thing I know about the emails, that the one from Ulan, and then of course the one from the commander saying that he was not authorized as someone, but the guy said no, I was authorized when I was called in. So,
well, there's differences in personalities, there's differences in when you come to a meeting and people walk away with different understandings of what went on, and then that, if it's something that's a hot subject, it tends to morph a little bit. But if I'm looking at it, you get the differences in how we manage things, you have the differences in the different departments, whether it be the executive or the legislature itself. We have things that I don't understand. Appears to be some type of substantial change over time here that I'd like to know where we were and why we are where we are. I'm not sure about the soldier on what they're responsible for doing and how do they come to this 90-day thing or whatever it happens to be, and what numbers, how do we get them. And
because I'm positive it didn't start out being 60 days.
It seems a little short to me.
I know. I'm sure. I have to go back and look at my notes, but I'm sure it was 6 to 9 months.
Well, wherever we're,
and I think it was up to a year, and you know, given circumstances.
Well, wherever we are, we have people that all want the same result. And how do we get to that place? And I think the way is pulling it apart and looking at the different pieces and trying to fix the pieces that we can, and invite people to come to the table and find other ways that we can't do. But I think we have to try.
Did you say that there's only 2 people in the house then?
That's what was told to us. But it's only on a 90, and you can't be there from 9. I didn't know anything about this 9 to 3.
That doesn't make total sense.
Well,
I understand part of it, but
I'd rather hear everybody's side to this thing to try and get a quick arouse around it. Not that anybody's saying anything that isn't right. But I want to hear every side of it.
There could be more to it, yeah.
To try and figure out, okay, how do we work with everything? How do we get people on the same page if we can?
All right, well, let's keep in touch on this, and if you have any ideas, please let me know, and I'll have a conversation with Terry again. Actually, we'll see him, I think, Wednesday at some point, because I'm going to be up there. I may not be in caucus on Wednesday. So, I'd probably see him then. I'll have another conversation with him on maybe quantifying or qualifying what all these things that are being said.
I think that would be the best way to do it. Is just to have it and say, look, we're interested. How do we turn that interest into action?
Right. All right. Well, thank you. And then I'm sorry, Mark, had you put off on that, and your turn.
I'll be brief. Just wanted to notify you graduation from the Academy of Teaching Convention for Wednesday, May 20th, 6 o'clock, Senate Gymnasium. Invitations have not been going out, they've been most remote. Summer 2015 enrollments continue to keep pace with last year, day to day. Capital projects at Kingston Center, construction moving along, the marketing campaign will start soon for that. Things are really moving well.
Yes.
We're quite happy with it. Calendar exterior is 95% done. Unfortunately, the interior contract that I talked to you about, I think the last committee meeting, has had a hang up with the new county finances.
What is the cost that now?
$156,000 for that contract. But so much time has gone by now that I'm not so sure that construction company's going to honor it. We've been quite some time.
Is that the total cost of the Kelder renovation?
We're still working on those numbers for it. Somewhere in the, I'm looking at Natasha because we just looked at this the other day.
$450,000.
Okay. So the things that increased there, the architectural costs, the exterior work required a bunch of stuff that we really hated until we got into the job. Porch frames, porch roofs, second floor porch, which makes the roof and the porch work porch. Just a whole bunch of things that escalated it. But again, we're into the project. We want to take care of them because we don't want to have to come back and do them. The contractor on site was able to do them part of it. That's what they're bringing somebody else. So that's really the reason for the escalation. And we'll have all that stuff for you, hopefully, by our next meeting. Waterline, we're still moving along at a snail's pace. We're waiting the owner's appraisal to see if there's a number we can agree on, or we will proceed with the eminent domain process. Negotiation, we're giving them forever. We're going to put a timeline on it and try and bring it to closure. It's the only way we can move this thing along. We're basically taking three capital projects in-house because the time frame is just taking too long to get them done through regular capital projects because they're more life safety items. In essence, over Christmas break, we put in a new sewage ejection pump station over by the Vanderlyn. This over spring break, we just did the grease traps in the cafeteria. This summer, we're hoping to restore one of the two beach fields that are out of commission right now. We're sliding along. It's taking a lot of time. I'm very disappointed in the state aid amount. It makes it extremely challenging to face the particular client in enrollment. And, of course, the county executive requested we not raise tuition in return for the increased county contribution this year. It's the rock and a hard place. I don't know how we can do it without increasing tuition, unless the county contribution is more.
Was that part of the reason the program was given up, what do they call the program
here? RSVP?
Yeah.
It's part of the budget cuts. We're trying to bring things in line. it's not something that we felt was core to our mission. Instruction's core to our mission. We're trying to keep that core together.
How many years did you do that?
How many what?
How many years did they do the RSVP?
Oh, probably 20, if not more. A long, long time.
28, was it? It is
a long time. How many volunteers were part
of that? Well, we thanked the college for the long time that they did do it. Because I know my understanding with the history of it, nobody wanted to do it. It was going to go to the YMCA. They wouldn't do it. And then the county didn't want to do it. And then so the college picked it up. But the problem is the funding kept dwindling. Your share kept going up. So as a result?
It was costing $54,000 a year for next year. That's $54,000 we could use it another way. But that's how granted we're getting and looking at the budget to try to make things work. I'll keep updating as we go along, but that's kind of like where we're at this point in time. I know that we have a resolution there for our
Yeah, public hearing for June 10th of 2015 at 6:30 p.m. We might as well entertain that motion. Entertain a motion to accept that resolution. Okay. Moved by Lopez, seconded by Gregorius. All those in favor? Aye. No discussion, I guess. We don't need anything on that.
That's going through the standard time of the budget process and hearing and moving forward.
Yes, hopefully I can have something that's more tangible for you.
Yeah, you could probably give us a, closer to the time. When is that, the 15th? When will our meeting be that month, do you know?
I'm sorry?
When will our meeting be that month, that the public hearing?
May?
Is? June one, it would be, we'll be meeting on the 9th, I believe, correct? Would it be the 9th? No, I meant June. Yeah, June will be the 9th, so you could probably fill us in before the public hearing. You can give us a shorter version of it, because, you don't need to give us the... Okay, that'd be good. So that we can do that in June because the public hearing will be the 15th.
The only other thing is we do have our second mediation scheduled for tomorrow with our professional unit. And regarding the CSEA comments at the last meeting, we have answered the request for information today.
Okay, good. I do have some concerns over that. As I understand, but to me, it borders union busting is the way I kind of look at it, because they're putting them in a weaker union. Because CSEA is basically as a state organization, and whereas the union they're going in will have no state organization. So I have some concerns with that.
Our view is we're using our resources in the best way possible.
Right, now I understand that. But as somebody from labor, I have some problems with it. Just be upfront with that. The other thing is, okay, what are the enrollments now?
What are our enrollments now?
Yeah, what are they at now?
Well, our spring is off by about 21 FTE from the budget. Like I said, the summer's keep the pace. The same time last year was about a lot of time before that, so I'm hopeful that that will hit. So I guess overall, we could have exposure in the 20 to 25 FTE range. But our budget as we look at next year, the number of high school students and all those other factors that go into our enrollment management process, you know, we're looking at probably 140 FTE less. That's the problem.
How much money is that equate to?
$400,000 to $500,000.
Well, the question then is, okay, if that's what happens in the fall, and the budget is, but we have it in June, we do your budget, is that right?
Correct.
So if we do a budget that you anticipated and the numbers are off, what happens?
The only variance at that point in time is going to be summer session 2, and that's usually our lightest enrollment. So summer session 1 we'll already have under a belt and over this.
Okay. Are you in danger in any way of not making up your mind?
No. Not at this point in time. This is due to the spending freeze as of today on all non-personnel.
Okay.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, Mark. We also have a resolution that came approving the New York State Office of Children and Family Services 2015 Resource Allocation Plan and amending the 2015 Olson County Budget for Youth Bureau. And this would be, I'm assuming, all right, this doesn't get referred to finance. Also,
is it on there?
No, not really. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, it is. I don't know if you have any questions on this, but there's no one here to answer them.
Well, this is state revenue dollars, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it's the same as last year. No difference.
Well, our appropriations match what the state gives us.
Right.
So... if they're giving it, you know, if it's, we'll probably look at it in ways and means, but as long as it's paid for by the state anyway, it's not a guarantee. It's
all right, so we get a
we'll look at it there, but it's not effectively going to hurt us if there's a problem here.
All right, well, anybody want to make a motion to accept this resolution?
I'll move.
Green, second by Warrell. Any discussion or anything else on this? No. All righty. Go for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? None. All right. Is there any new business anybody need to bring up? Nope. Being done, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Adjournment.